Welcome back to another episode of the Gene Smith Podcast, presented by Encova Insurance, where we sit down to speak with the Ohio State Senior Vice President and Wolf Foundation Endowed Athletics Director to talk about the current state of OSU athletics. My name is Ben Waite, and I'm joined, as always, by Mr. Gene Smith. Gene, before we get started, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing great, Ben. It's a great weekend we experienced, so I'm feeling good, and we're off and running this week, so hopefully you and your family are doing good.
We're doing great. Yep, everybody is healthy and safe. That's all I can ask for at this point. But as you mentioned, last weekend, we really not only did the men come home, the men's basketball team come home with a top 10 road victory, which was huge, but it was also the first weekend that really felt like it was packed full of competition. It was more than we've enjoyed in quite some time. Tell us a little bit about what it's like having all of our student athletes back on campus.
Oh, it was exciting. You know, you go through the fall and obviously the challenges that we faced with football. And then you take a break and you come into a weekend like we just had, where you had home activities and some nice contests on television, with men's ice hockey and men's basketball televised. And I was really proud of our men's basketball team in particular. They broke out their uniforms. And I told Chris, if you go break those uniforms out, you better win with them, because otherwise they never come back out.
That's right.
Well, they performed well. But then to have all the teams at home, women's ice hockey had a great series, winning in both contests. And then women's volleyball, having two great contests against Maryland, both of them going to five matches and winning both of them was really exciting. And our men's team bounced back from a tough loss against Penn State on Friday, came back Saturday night and swept them. Three sets was really fun. And then, of course, we hosted the ITA with men's and women's tennis, and really, really fun, particularly the women's tennis team on Sunday. Oh, my goodness. I think that was maybe a four-hour match, and they won in advance. But really a great weekend for our teams to have a chance to compete, and really proud of our kids and our coaches and all of our medical staff and trainers, everyone that rallied, and you, Ben, along with many of our other staff members, volunteering to make sure all of our protocols were followed. It was really fun to watch.
Absolutely. And having everybody back on campus, you would really feel the juice flowing around the department with all the competitions going on, but especially when you get some big wins like we had over the weekend. But what sort of challenges are presented with the return of so many student athletes coming back to competition and training?
Well, you know, obviously with COVID and trying to manage all the testing, last week we administered 2,503 tests. And certain sports, depending upon the sport, they test, those student athletes test once a week. And then others test six times a week or three times a week. And I forgot to mention wrestling. Oh, my goodness, how could I forget wrestling? Wrestling competed on Sunday at noon, right kind of same time as women's tennis, but all those sports, they all have to test. And, you know, having staff like you and others step up and volunteer their times, Jerry Davis, one of our great staff members, is doing a phenomenal job in coordinating all that with our trainers and doctors, and just a lot in that space. One of our challenges is we have a number of student athletes who over time contracted COVID, and once they come out of isolation, they have to go through their cardiac protocols, get a cardiac MRI, EKG, et cetera. And they're in a queue. We have a large number, so they are waiting to get their cardiac. And so our medical center, Dr. Kurt Daniels and his team have been great in trying to help us move those student athletes out of the queue. But it takes some time because they have other patients they have to handle. So it's moving along. That's one of the biggest challenges is once they get out of isolation, moving them through that cardiac queue.
The testing piece has really been fascinating for me to personally be involved with. It gives me a much better perspective of all of the different parts and pieces you have to try and fit together. The puzzle there is so overly complicated, you know, trying to make sure you get class schedules and practice schedules and everybody for all of those thousands of student athletes. But it's very reassuring then when at the end of your shift, you see that so many of those kids have done all the right things and you're walking away with mostly negative tests, which are positive in the sense of testing as a whole. But
yeah, it's true. No, our positivity rate is really low. We're blessed right now because our kids have embraced it. I think they learn by watching football from the fall, and they understand now the starts and stops. I think, you know, the teams understand that, you know, they control their own destiny. They can't control what other teams do. But they understand that they control their opportunity to maybe compete. And as we've taught our coaches through the fall and up until now, you just got to get used to the start and stops. But let's try not to be the school or the program that causes to stop. How do we embrace that new challenge? And so far, so good. Knock on wood.
Are there any programs here at OSU that you really think have stepped up to that challenge and have excelled under the circumstances that we're in?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I can go through almost all of our sports, really. You know, our swimming program, or who has been competing, and then our women's volleyball program. It's just all of them. I really can go through every single one of them and compliment them on how well they've done. You know, a sport like wrestling that has really challenges as a sport, frankly, they've done well. They've had some challenges, but in the time that they had the challenges, they've been able to come out of them. And both our soccer programs, now they benefited from competing in the fall, not competing, but practicing in the fall and experiencing the challenge with the protocols, but then they were able to come back and respond so well as we started to this winter season. So they just got their schedules. They start up in February. And so now I can just keep going through our sports. They've all done really well.
I understand that. Obviously, we've been so nimble and flexible throughout this pandemic. But one of the unique kind of twists recently is that some of our teams have been competing virtually. That's a grand departure from what we're used to seeing. And can you tell us a little bit about that process?
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting. Actually, we'll have another one this weekend with our men's gymnastics team. We were supposed to play that team up north or compete against that team up north in men's gymnastics. And now they're going to do a virtual contest this weekend from the Covelli Arena. And it really is an opportunity for our student athletes to still compete, but actually just do it virtually. I mean, it's really we're blessed. We have great video people, great technicians, and in our facility in particular, Covelli, was built in a way that, from a technological point of view, is able to service that type of competition. So families can go online, they can see their sons or daughters, whatever the sport is, compete, and it's just a new way of doing it. So I think it works exceptionally well. And then obviously the other team's at another location, but it works. And so it's a good way to do it. Saves significant costs, really does, but it keeps the kids safe.
And I think one of the large lessons that we've all learned throughout the pandemic is that the only thing you can plan is that your plans will change. And
right.
So with that being said, how do you envision the remainder of the competitive season this year playing out?
Yeah, we actually had a coach's call earlier today, and you know, we talked about that a little bit, is you really can't plan. You know, used Chris Holtman as an example because, you know, in men's basketball, they were looking forward to this particular week having a break because we have some nicks and bruises here and there, a chance for our players to recover for the Michigan State contest on Sunday. And here, you know, we end up having to play Penn State on Wednesday night because it was postponed earlier. Then they had a cancellation. So this is the window where we can play them. And so there's no way that you could look down the road and plan. You have a schedule, but understand that it will change. It's just going to happen. There's no sport yet where it hasn't happened. And so it's going to happen. It's just a matter of when and then how you respond. You may end up with one day preparation as opposed to 3 days to get ready for an opponent. But as I've told all of our coaches, if you have a chance to compete, regardless of the preparation, you got to compete because it can be taken away from you so fast. When Chris and I was talking about the Penn State game, you know, we talked about the reality is you got to play this game because you might not play the one on Sunday. So you just don't know. So there's nothing you can plan. You just have to do your best to stay stay negative, and then make sure you create a culture where the young people understand that we just have to be able to pivot.
Certainly. I think most of our listeners will share our enthusiasm for the hopes that the vaccines that have been recently distributed are showing and are currently in use. And I understand that some of our facilities are going to be utilized and help with the vaccination campaign. Is that true?
Yeah, you know, the Shawnee Center, right? You know, it's great. You know, that staff really embraced the challenge of setting up a vaccination center. Because, you know, most of them, they just do concerts and contests and events. And here they're working with the medical center. We're great partners to set up an entire vaccination center. And it goes 6 days a week. And it's just working exceptionally well. And our Red Coast ushers and others are working it. And we've been able to do it when we've had contests. You know, when we play basketball games in there or ice hockey contests, they've still been able to accommodate hosting of the vaccinations that are necessary. So it's really worked well. It's kind of cool to see. When it was first set up, I was apprehensive because I couldn't visualize it in our concourse areas. But really, since we did the renovation of the shot and opened up the concourse, it accommodated this need exceptionally well. And the parking's right adjacent to the vaccination site, so people can literally park and walk right in and get their vaccine and go through their 15-minute monitoring and walk right back out. So if we had inclement weather, they would be accommodated exceptionally well.
And certainly, it's not what that building was intended for, but it lends itself to that. But you mentioned your reservations a little bit. Operationally, how many different hands went into the planning of the vaccination campaign at the shot?
Yeah, I can't speak to the number of medical center people, but obviously we had a few people who, Colin Thompson and Scott Dixon in particular at the shot, were the primary organizers along with others, and Mike Kademus and some others. But and we did obviously had a lot of all hands on deck to set up the site. But the medical center lead crew, I'm not sure how big that was, but they were great. Dr. Annie Thomas and helping to oversee it and making sure it worked. He and I talked about some of the kinks here and there and finalize those at the end, but it was a great operation.
You mentioned our colleagues over at the Wexner Medical Center. What does it mean to you to be at a university that not only operates at such a high athletic level, but then medically as well?
Oh, it means a lot. You know, I can't thank the lessons learned or the great expertise that we have available to us to work with our student athletes, to work with our trainers and others and strength coaches to just help us understand what we need to do in order to mitigate the exposure to the virus. And then ultimately to take care of our kids when they do contract it and help us understand everywhere from just the mental health aspects of being in isolation or quarantine and what we need to do in that space. But then obviously, you know, when I've always felt that we've been at an advantage relative to healthcare because any of our student athletes, they get injured in any form or fashion. You have the Crane Sports Medicine Center, Sports Medicine Facility right there. And then you have the Wexner Medical Center at our disposal to take care of our kids. So we're blessed to have that relationship with one of the premier medical centers in the country and great experts constantly available to our kids, regardless of whatever their illness is or ailment is, and we're able to take care of them.
As we've mentioned, the vaccine campaign is well underway here in Columbus and on Ohio State's campus. Do we have a preliminary plan in place for vaccination for our student athletes and coaches?
No, we're not there yet. You know, the 65 year and older is the target groups that have been scheduled out or at least identified for schedules. And then I think we'll hear from the governor and then the institution and the medical center how we'll cascade that further into our faculty. And I think it's so important that we take care of those people who are exposed or may have some pre-existing situations or just our older population, frontline workers. We need to make sure those are being taken care of, and they are. So we don't have a plan yet for our younger population, but I'm sure over time that will evolve.
Certainly. we talked about how some of our events have changed from, yeah, clearly not having any in-person fans to some are wholly virtual competitions now, but how have the events of the past year impacted the department's plans for 2021 and moving forward? What sort of things do you feel like we may adopt in perpetuity here?
Yeah, that's a great question, Ben. You know, I think all of us have had lessons learned that we'll embrace moving forward. There's some things we won't do, but there's some things we'll pick up on. And, you know, I think we're really fortunate because we have great IT people. We have great video people, great creative people. And I think that the use of those tools will continue to be useful for us as we move forward. The different platforms around Microsoft Teams or Zoom or others, I think will be used appropriately as we move forward. I really believe that we'll be more comfortable with those people who need to work at home for a period of time. I think we've come up with a strategy for effective communication in that space, and some people will need to do that. And I think our work schedule will embrace that a little bit as we move forward. But you still have to find a way to make sure that we create that social interaction, that water cooler time that we all need for each other, because those are the moments where you realize if someone needs help. And so we need to recreate those social engagement moments. But I do think there's a few things we'll take moving forward, and it'll probably be more around, you know, video recruiting, you know, virtual tours, things of that nature. I think we've learned a lot.
As somebody who has probably been accused of spending too much time at the water cooler, Gene, I would have to agree. I'm much looking forward to that aspect of getting back to some normalcy.
Yeah, I think you have to have that. You know, you learn so much. The formal interactions that are created around communication and planning, they're always needed, and you learn so much. But it's that informal communication that's lost just by being around one another and just sharing and being able to talk or go see someone right down the aisle or in the cubicle next to you or the office on the floor above you, just to go see them and say, hey, I have this idea. I have a habit, as you know, of just, if I have a thought where I'm trying to work through something, I'll just call different people and say, hey, you guys got a minute? Come on up. Let's plan this out. And I miss that. You know, I just can't do that through Zoom. So it's a little harder for me, but I think we have to get back to that.
One of the things that I've always cherished about our department is how familial it is as well. So it feels like 2 years ago that we had a Christmas party and a Step Olympics and all those great things. So yeah, I hope we can get back to some of that stuff very soon. But following the end of the 2020 football season, we had to say goodbye to a number of guys that are now moving on. They're going to be pursuing their professional career. What are the next few months going to look like for those guys, especially under the special circumstances?
Yeah, I think they're, they have determined where they're going to continue to work out and prepare. Some of them have already made commitments to agents, and so I'm sure they're working with their agents on the location of where they're going to work out and train for the combine, which will be different. It's still being planned, but it's probably going to be virtual to some degree. So they're probably going through that process right now. Some of them are still in school. Some are taking classes and some are virtual classes, but majority of them are going to work out somewhere. And hopefully a couple of them stay here and work out. We've done a great job with a lot of our kids who have pro aspirations of getting ready. At some point, we'll host a pro day that at some point in time. Again, that won't be open to the public, but it'll be something that we do when we get a chance to see those young people compete. But no, they're right now, they're in planning mode. They're on the move.
And we also got some pleasant surprise announcements of some guys that are returning to come back, whether it's for their fourth year or using the special NCAA waiver for an additional year. What is it going to mean to have such veteran leadership coming back to the football program?
Oh, it's great. You know, having a Haskell Garrett come back or Chris Olave or any of those guys coming back who's gone through last year or gone through their own individual adversity like Haskell Garrett, That's invaluable. You know, we're told some of all experiences in life, and those young men and others have had just unbelievable experiences that our young puppies will benefit from. You know, we have 15 mid-year guys who are here right now, and Mickey's off-season training will start the first week of February. So they'll have some old heads in the room that help them get through that challenge, and it will be a challenge. It's nice. We benefited that from last year, John Cooper, who had been around a long time, Justin Hilder, who had been around a long time, battling their own personal injuries and adversity, but having them be inspiration for others because they've gone through so many challenges themselves. So it's going to be nice to have that leadership back, excited about it, and can't wait to go and watch some of Mickey's workouts.
Certainly. I'm sure that the new guys may not be looking forward to that as much, but as you mentioned,
oh, they have no clue.
We have some early enrollees on campus that came from North Carolina, Virginia, or even as far away as Pickerington.
And, right.
What has that process been like for those guys? They obviously have a little bit of an easing in going on now.
Yeah, you know, so they've been going through some unbelievable education. We've had different sessions for them on education transitioning into Ohio State, and be it from our SASO operations, our academic operations, or be it from our Title IX office. You know, we have a great colleague in Molly who's done a great session for them. And then, of course, you know, Ryan Stamper in his last days, you know, I'm working him like mad. Ryan Day's working him like mad in his last days. And just teaching them how to operate. You know, this is their first time away from home. You know, they're making their own decisions every single day. They may have been away from home in their lifetime, but not on a consistent long-term basis. So their decisions every single day are important. And so making sure that they're making the right decisions and handling their life like a professional now. It's a big training session for them. So, and it's a little bit challenging right now because they're not in mandatory workouts. So they're kind of on their own, but at some point, when Mickey's program starts, it'll be a lot easier to engage them because they'll be around and then they'll be around the other guys more on a more consistent basis. So they'll hear things, they'll be able to ask questions and learn things because they learn more things from the players than they do from us. And so the upperclassmen will be important to them as we move forward. So but they're learning a lot. They're drinking water through a fire hose, I call it right now.
Well, I'm glad to hear you're keeping Stan busy as well before he runs away with Coach Meyer down to Jacksonville. So
that was the right thing to do for him being from home, and he'd done quite a bit here and a new challenge. You know, he's kind of a builder, like Urban's a builder, and I think that's a great opportunity for Stamper to go home, be around his family and others and friends, and he'll be a great asset for that organization.
Certainly, I anticipate there'll be more Jaguars apparel going around Central Ohio than there ever has been previously. So I look forward to seeing that. But you mentioned the basketball game that we slid into the schedule this week. What else are you looking forward to that's coming up?
Yeah, you know, it's really cool, you know, having the basketball game, and really proud of our women who played last night, actually. And they now sit on top of the Big Ten Conference and beating Maryland and snapping their conference winning streak, and they're just doing exceptionally well. Since they can't play postseason, they have really embraced the opportunity to possibly win the regular season, and they're really after it. And so they've really taken a negative and turned it into a positive, and they're chasing it. So I'm really anxious to continue to watch them and to continue to watch our men as we move forward. And this weekend, it's so nice to have our men's ice hockey team at home and have a chance to go see them compete, and looking forward to that opportunity. Our women will be on the road, but our men will be at home. So I'm really anxious to see them compete. So it's just another opportunity to see our kids compete.
Absolutely. We're all looking forward to keeping up with all of them. And that does it for another episode of the Gene Smith Podcast. Thank you for joining us once again. We really appreciate everyone who has listened and subscribed thus far. Until next time, we want to wish all of you the happiest and healthiest of safe start to this 2021. And hopefully we can all be together very, very soon. But for Gene Smith and everyone here at Ohio State Athletics, I am Ben Waite. Be well. Go Buckeyes.
Thank you, Ben. Go Bucks.
And I understand that some of our facilities are going to be utilized and help with the vaccination campaign. Is that true? Certainly, it's not what that building was intended for, but it lends itself to that. But you mentioned your reservations a little bit. Operationally, how many different hands went into the planning of the vaccination campaign at the shop?